We continue our scripture reading in the book of 2 Peter. Today we're going to read all of chapter 3. I printed only part of it, but it's not that long. It all holds together. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now in it, Peter wraps up his letter by reminding the people of God that there is going to be an end of this world, that they should live in light of the coming final judgment. The final judgment is not an optional or insignificant Christian doctrine. It is integral to the entire Christian way, that there is going to be a judgment. And he talks about how there's going to be fiery cleansing of the world and a destruction of the ungodly. There is the wrath of God to come, and then there's the final judgment. And then he says there's a new heavens and a new earth. And Peter says to the people of God, don't live for this dying world. You got to live in it. I know that. But your hope is in a new heavens and a new earth where the glory of Christ will reign. Now, the objection people make is, well, you all have been saying that all this time. It hasn't happened yet. Ever since the days of our father, it's gone on without judgment. And Peter says, oh, but you forget Noah's flood. It has not gone without judgment since the days of creation. God promised a judgment by flood. He delivered that judgment by flood. Now he promises a judgment of fire, and it's going to happen. You further forget that God is an eternal being, and so what's 1,000 years to you is like a day to him. And so don't be so sure that you can count on it being in the future. The Bible teaches all Christians in light to live in light of the near end of the world and the final judgment when Jesus will reign. And Peter concludes by saying, how then ought you to live? See, that's the thing. It doesn't make a difference to the way we approach everything that this world is going to end. It's a passing world. It's going to be rolled up like a scroll, as the Old Testament says, and that we are living for a new age to come. It shapes everything. Put not your treasures on earth, Jesus said, but in heaven. Now, Peter makes a brief reference to the writings of Paul that's worth noting on. And the thing is, he's going to talk about Paul's teaching of these things. What's interesting is he talks about the writings of Paul as scripture. So somebody says to you, on what basis do we consider the New Testament to be the Word of God like the Old Testament? The answer is the New Testament says so. And here's a place where Peter declares scriptural the writings of the Apostle Paul. Well, what we need to do through the Word of God, in light of what we know about history, is in the great benediction that concludes this letter, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That's what we're to do. To him be glory now and forever. Well, let us give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving Word, beginning with verse 1 of 2 Peter 3. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And by these means, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, my beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the day of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.